just don't appreciate what you have. And my wife, Michelle, and I have developed some amazing, beautiful relationships here at our Father's house over 14 years. And this morning, I just want to share a short testimony to just demonstrate to you, if you're not plugged in, if you're not connected, if you're not part of a body of people who worship and love on one another, I encourage you in 2020 to do that. This past Thanksgiving, my wife lost her father the day before Thanksgiving. And it was probably the most difficult holiday season we've ever had. But we had a family. We had people here that loved us, cared for us, called us, reached out. And just yesterday, we had the opportunity, for a variety of reasons, we finally got to celebrate her father's life just yesterday. And I want to tell you something. There was people here, there was a sign-up genius that went out for food. Now this, we celebrated his life 3.5 hours away in Newport News. There was people that signed up for food. There was 10 beautiful souls that went down to Newport News, 3.5 hours away. And they served and they ministered and they loved on that family. They didn't have to do that. But it's because of what I just read. God places each one of us in a body of believers that we can overcome all socioeconomic, all ethnic and racial backgrounds. It overcomes all of that so that we can be in a place like that where we can love on one another. So I am so grateful to the Lord for the body that I have, for the family that I have here. So as we come this morning for communion, I would just encourage you again, if you're not connected, if you don't have a small group, if you don't find some place, it takes intentionality. These types of relationships aren't built overnight. They're not built in a week. They're not built in a month. But it takes intentionality on your part to pursue those relationships. So make 2020 about that. And let us celebrate what God has given us by placing us in this amazing body this morning as we come for the communion. We celebrate an open communion table here at our Father's house. All are welcome to come celebrate with us. The special offering this morning is for hope. The ushers will come. They'll release you row by row. Take the elements back to your seat. And then when we're all finished, we'll share together.
Yeah.
Father, we're so grateful to you that you died on a cross for us, that you shed your blood for us, and then you sent your spirit that might place each one of us in a body where we might be loved, where we might be healed and restored, that we might turn around and share that love with others, and demonstrate that love in some very practical, real ways to people. And I'm so grateful to you for that, Father, and all the many blessings that that brings with it. So we just thank you. And we'll just take and eat in Jesus' name. Pass your cups to the center aisle. The ushers will collect those.
We welcome you to our Father's house. I'm so thankful you're here with us today. I especially want to extend a warm welcome to anyone who is here for the first time. Our greeters met you at the front door, gave you some materials about our church and our ministries. If you could please fill in that guest card, and immediately after the service, Pastor Jay will meet you in the hospitality room right by the front door. Just a few things I need to bring to your attention. It's a very busy season. We have a lot going on. The first thing I need to say, in the very last thing I'm going to do at the end of the announcements, is to show a video clip about a movie which is coming to our local area on human trafficking. Though the video is not explicit, the topic is. It's coming on the 23rd of January. So if you have children and you don't want them to hear about the sort of things that happen to women who are taken captive in this horrible industry, you might move them on. Your choice. So a couple things to pass on. We have a number of classes we're offering. Most of them are on Wednesday nights. There's a list in the lobby. We send it to you via MailChimp. I just sent you a text message this morning with a link to the website that gives you all the information about the classes we're offering. So we hope you can participate in some of those. They're a real blessing. Personally, Jim Curry and I are going to be leading a class on unlocking the mysteries of Genesis. It's a unique format. We're going to dovetail it with our care group, which meets every other Sunday, has a meal first, a potluck meal, right after the church, downstairs. And then we will show a couple of video clips from Right Now Media and give a chance for question and answers and just discussion about creation and unlocking the mysteries of Genesis. So if you're interested in that, come join us. It'll be six sessions spread over 12 weeks. And Baby dedication will be occurring on Right to Life Sunday, which is next Sunday. If you have any children you want to dedicate to the Lord, please be prepared to come. Let the staff know. Val usually tries to make a certificate, but we need to know who you are if you're going to get a certificate suitable for framing and putting in your office. Oh, I've never done that before, huh? Okay. So that is all the special things we want to do. So at this time, Lindsay, can you please click on that? And someone hit these lights, please. The side lights on each side. I'm sorry. Good old technology. It's amazing what it can do, and it's amazing what it cannot do. So maybe we'll show it next week because it's coming up on the 23rd. Oh, yeah, thank you. I forgot. this is the season where we try to update our church directory and identify who is in the church, who's a part of our church, and your personal information. So if you consider this your church and you have anything that's new or you've never let us know who you are, please raise your hand. We have some directory slips. We would love to get updated information so that when I do my end of the year Assembly of God report, I have accurate information. And if we want to reach you, we know who you are and how to get a hold of you. Excellent. Okay. Please welcome Pastor Jay, who's going to share the word of the Lord with us today.
Let the record stand that I did not forget to pick up the tithes and offerings, Tim. Our ushers are going to come row by row. They're going to receive tithes and offerings. Wasn't on the list. We'll bless it before we pick it up. Father, we just thank you for how you've blessed us in so many ways. We thank you, Lord, for how you provide for us financially, Lord. Lord, when times are tight and when times are in plenty, we just thank you for your graciousness for us, Lord. Lord, as we come and we seek to honor you by giving back to you, Lord, your tithe, Lord Jesus, we just thank you and rejoice in the many ways that you take care of us. So, Lord, we ask that you would continue to increase what you've entrusted to us, Lord. Lord, let the storehouses be full here, Lord Jesus, as we do your ministry here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, before I get started, I'm going to pray over this message because I'm excited about it. But I think it's an important one. We're kicking off something important here today. So, Father, we just thank you for your work here at our Father's house. We're thankful for the lives of your people here, Lord. We're thankful for what you have seeded in the ground here, Lord, and what you are bringing forth into new growth and new life here. Lord, I ask today that as I speak, that your words would fill my mouth. Lord, I ask that you, Holy Spirit, would come and speak and utter words in our spirits that I'm not even speaking with my mouth, Lord, but that you would communicate with us on levels that only you can. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your great love for us. I thank you for what you're doing here, what you're doing in bringing us into a new season. Lord, let everything that we do glorify and magnify you. You are worthy of all of it, Lord. We ask for your grace and your peace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've been here for the past couple of Sundays, you'll have heard me say that after the encounter service that we had last week, we're going to spend the rest of this month talking about vision. Vision for our future. Vision for what God is doing here. I'm excited to share that with you because it's something that's been, it's been a long journey for me personally, for Katie and I together, as we've been venturing into this together. And so I'm excited to share with you what the Lord has really been laying on my heart. And as I've been, after he's put these things on deposit in me, I've been watching him just confirm these words to me over and over and over again. It just gets me very excited about what he's going to do, because I got vision, but I don't know how he's actually going to play this stuff out. That's the journey that we get to be on together. But he's going to speak about things to us that should light our fires and should help us tend our fires as we move forward. So, just for future reference, when someone is stepping into a new venture, like, hey, we know you're going to be the new pastor come 5 years from now, hold off on a little while before you ask them what their vision is for the church. It's funny now. At the time, it was as the Lord called us into this. That was one of the first questions I started hearing from people. So, what's your vision for the church? What's your vision for this? And I remember thinking, I'm just trying to figure out what all I'm doing here. You know, I'm just getting my feet wet. But it's been wonderful to see how the Lord has started to play those things out. And along the way, he's really been seeding my heart with things and uncovering and unveiling things for me that I didn't know were there. If you're new to us, I'll share with you, my name's Pastor Jay Patterson. I've been pastoring here for about 4 years now. I've been here in this church for 15 years now. Katie and I just celebrated our 15th year coming into Southern Maryland. So we, like most of the rest of you who raised your hands earlier today, are transplants to Southern Maryland. And, it's been amazing to see what the Lord has done in us as we have grown up here. We came as an engineer and an English teacher, which is like a standard package coming into St. Mary's County. And it's just been such a wonderful, wonderful ride for us here. The Lord really began to activate things that he had been speaking to us about prior to coming here in this house. I can still remember being on a trip in Seattle and getting a call from Katie that they're having a Sunday night meeting downstairs in the sunroom, and all of a sudden we had a healing thing breaking out and people were getting healed. There's folks in this room that were there, and God just started moving in a big way. And it's like we've been waiting for this for a long time. And we'd seen these types of things happening, but it was happening here in our church with those that we loved, with those we were walking with. And the Lord was giving us a hunger and a desire to pursue him and see him move in a new way. And we kind of caught on to the coattails of that, and the Lord just drug us right along into what he was doing. And I'm so thankful for that. We've had so many people here that have been moms and dads to us, raising us as we've been walking and growing in our walk with the Lord and our maturity. And when the Lord called us into ministry here, it's just that interesting transition of being one of the rest of us to now stepping into a place of taking that leadership role. And you guys have been so gracious with us as we've been transitioning in that. Some of you only know us that way. There's many people here, though, that have known us through that whole journey. And so I'm very thankful for all of those who have really been partnering with us in heart and in action as we've been making that transition. So along that way now has been vision, because we've been on a five-year transition between Pastor Lanny and I. He's been here for several decades. Tim was just talking with me yesterday. Lanny's been pastoring here for 40 years or more, but he's been involved in church leadership here since even before then. And so Tim was saying, Lanny's actually spent six decades in ministry. He's been in six decades of time working here. And that doesn't mean he's been here for 60 years doing this, but he's actually ministered in this church over six decade periods. And that's a huge blessing. That doesn't happen in most places. Like Brandon was saying just a few minutes ago, we have to stop and kind of count our blessings and really realize what it is that God has given us here, because it's something that we're stewarding as we're moving forward. So vision. I've spoken with several leaders as I've been trying to develop vision and capture what is it that the Lord has for us, and what is he wants to say and do, and what is it for us to steward. And one of the most poignant things I heard from a senior leader that I really admire and respect is that, as they said, so how's your vision coming along? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how I'm supposed to find this thing. And they said, the vision's inside of you already, but you have to discover what it is that you're already carrying. And so that's been a process. And I just want to encourage you, for even in your own life, and whatever it is that the Lord has you leading, whatever it is that you're doing, he's already imparted that vision to you, but it's that uncovering of what those things are. And sometimes along the way, you come across experiences that show you what your vision is not. And that's the grace of the Lord to you. There have been experiences along our journey over the past 4 years there where I can say, yep, definitely that's not part of what I want to keep moving in. And, oh, nope, that's not it. I thought that was something, but there's no life in that for me. But you can look back across your life and say, okay, what is it that God has been doing? Someone else shared with me that that vision helps you define what it is that you are about. In so doing, it helps you say no to things that you're not called to, things that would also be good works, but they're not for you to carry. That's something for us personally to own, but it's also something for us corporately to own. For us to have vision and have a vision statement that says, this is what we are going after, that gives us guidelines to say, that's the most important thing for us to move towards. So there's going to be other great ideas that come in along the way, wonderful things that are meant to glorify the Lord and move and advance the kingdom, but they're not for us to carry. So we can release that and say, someone else can be blessed in that, but that's not for us. This is a pruning type of thing. When you prune a vine, you prune a tree, you're eliminating things that you're not wanting to put life into so that more life can go into the direction that you're growing, the fruit that is being grown. And so those are things that that we're looking for when we are establishing a vision. Vision represents a desired new reality that you are willing to contend for to see realized. It should be something that's in front of you that says, yes, that is absolutely where I'm going, and I'm willing to contend for that. That means I'm willing to put skin in the game for that thing to happen. It's not quite here yet. I want to see that realized. And that statement should be boiled down and reduced into a simple statement. It should be something that's easy for you to remember. It's this. What am I after? I'm after this. And that's that. It's just simple, and I can keep going in there. I can keep that vision in front of my eyes. I also believe that a vision needs to be bold and beyond your immediate and even long-term grasp. If it's going to be an effective vision statement, you shouldn't be able to accomplish it next week. You shouldn't be able to accomplish it next year. I don't think you should even be able to accomplish it next 10 years. Because you're not dreaming big enough if that's what's going on. God wants us, he wants our boldness. He wants to impart us with boldness. He wants us to ask for impossible things so that he can show up and be there. And so we can say, that's by the work of God and the grace of God that those things happen. and we were able to partner with him in it, and he did what he said he was going to do. I also believe that the vision should capture what's in your heart, but it should draw you beyond and above your present state of functioning. There should be an essence of that vision in you already, but you should be drawn forward in it. You should be drawn upwards in it. It should lift your eyes and keep you moving forward. So, we're here at our Father's house. Some of us are old Pragites. If you don't know what that is, you haven't been around here a very long time. Prague was a Patuxent River Assembly of God. It's actually still our trade name that's out there, but we changed our name to, what was that, Tim? Corporate identity. Thank you, Tim, our administrator. It's our corporate identity. But our Father's house is what our name is now. We changed our name to more accurately represent the spirit of what God had been doing here in this place. And that was probably about 10 years ago that we did that, somewhere right around that time frame. And it's been amazing to see what the Lord has been doing as we've recognized that we are children of our Father in heaven. That's an identity thing. And so it is on our sign. We're recognizing that we are part of a family. It's God's family here in the earth. And we have identity in that. And you have to move from a place of identity. We've had other mission statements in the past that we've used. Loving God, loving one another, reaching out and making mature disciples. You guys remember those? And back in 2012, our leadership core came up with a very, I'd say, simple but profound, boiled down mission statement for us. It's just three words. Experience, connect, impact. You guys remember that? It's experiencing God, connecting with one another, and impacting our world. And I think that's a very good word picture of what we see here happening at our Father's house. Every Encounter Sunday, we're coming in here, we want to experience God. We really want to know him. We don't want to just know him with our heads. We want to know him with our hearts, and we want to know him through experience. God is active, and he's moving today. He has plans. He has purposes. He has activity that's going on in our lives, and he's drawing us into it. Connecting with one another. Man, Brandon, thank you for just preaching that this morning. Folks, we've lost several people dear to this congregation over the past year, and even extended family. And Brandon and Michelle shared a little bit today about what they've gone through, but there's been others as well. Seeing you loving on one another through those hurtful times has been so, so powerful. It's otherworldly. It's otherworldly. People don't take care of each other on this scale the way that you all do. It's just beautiful to experience. And it's part of what God has worked in here. If you're not connected with people here yet, like Brandon says, it takes some intentionality. Things go both ways. But connect, because people are wanting to connect. They're wanting to love on each other. God's been doing great things. Man, we came here 15 years ago, and we were absorbed in. And like I said, we had people that were being mothers and fathers to us. They're being sisters and brothers. We're like aunts and uncles to some of the kids that are around here. It's been wonderful seeing just the life that's happened within this body. And that third statement, impacting our world. God sends us into the world to carry what he's given us there. We should expect to see an impact from our lives and those that are around us. Expect it. Because the Spirit of God is in you. He changes situations. He transforms things. It's part of what he does. It's part of who he is. And then behind me, you see the sign. We've had this up for several years now, putting the Father on display. Again, capturing the heart of what God has drawn us towards. These aren't vision statements. These are like purpose and mission statements. This is what God is doing here already. But the vision statement is why. What is it that he's after? What is it that we hope to see this activity lead toward? We should be putting the Father on display. That's what he's created us to do. His sons and daughters carry his image into the world. They carry his activity and his spirit into the world. They put him on display for everyone to see. But what is the why? A couple weeks ago, I shared with you about how we are going to continue this year to press into the presence of God. We're going to lean in. And all the transition stuff that's happening, we're going to lean in. We're going to keep pursuing him. We're going to keep being passionate about him. We want to go to new depths with him. We want to go to new heights with him. We want to know him more and more. His presence brings about change. It brings about freedom, victory, transformation. Things happen in the presence of God that wouldn't happen in any other place. And that is still part of what we're doing. So when I talk about the vision statement today, I want you to understand that everything that I've been sharing about, everything that we've talked about as far as where we're moving this year and what we're going to experience this year is still all true. This is the context that God has built for us. We know that we're our Father's sons and daughters. We know that we can live and move in him. We know what his presence is like. We know that we can press into him and he is there. Worship today was wild. It was so good. Like, thank you, worship team. Thank you. Yes, clap for them. They helped us, help bring us into the presence of the Lord. They welcomed his presence into this room. They drew us in. We hung out there. And you could feel the Spirit of God coming and just saying, I want to rest here with you. I just want to be here with you as we're ministering to him, as we're blessing him, as we're lifting Jesus' name up high. We welcome the person in the presence of the Holy Spirit, because without him, what are we doing? We're getting in a room and we're all singing songs together and whatnot. Of course, it's more than that. But with the presence of God here, with the person in the presence of the Holy Spirit saying, Lord, you do what you want to do here. It changes the atmosphere. That doesn't change when we put forward a vision statement here. It is the context that we are operating from. It's the platform that we're launching from. You get what I'm saying? Okay. He gives us more. But it's going to be consistent with what he's already done because he has a plan in place. Just recently, we were having a time of worship at our house. And Katie got a word about healing. And it was about what God was going to be doing here at our Father's house and healing. And the thing that was so impressive about this word was that the scale of what he was talking about was much bigger than what we have a mindset for here. God was wanting to do so much healing, and there's a term that I've not yet heard in any other words that I've heard, and it was healing center. A healing center. You go to a healing center, there's lots of different ways you're going to experience healing. That has excellence in that thing, where it's just part of what they are. Very funnily, the next day, I was fumbling through my jacket as I was putting it on to come here to church, and I opened up a prophetic word that I got from somebody, probably in this room, 6 to 12 months ago. I'm not sure. It was in my jacket pocket. Could have been there a good while. But I remember this word, and I opened it up and thought, actually, I didn't open it up. I pulled it out, and I was like, what is it? Oh, I remember that. And I put it down, and it was in our closet. Katie came by later that day, and she said, have you seen this word? I said, yeah. She said, well, have you actually read that thing recently? I said, no, but I remember the gist of it, and I opened it up, and I actually read it, and it was hilarious in that it was so much what God had just been talking to us about. And I have a picture of it here. The picture, and I don't have it to project, but the picture essentially was our Father's house. Somebody had sketched our Father's house, this little, you know, stick figure house, and there was this kind of like a wireframe radio tower. Thank you, sir. God bless you. There's a radio tower, and at the top is a red cross with like this beacon coming out of it. And here's what was said. I was praying about the service, and I think I got a picture of a red cross mounted high on like a radio tower or a cell phone tower, blinking and flashing brightly high above the hill OFH is on. We do have a radio tower out here. I think it is referring to the healings, miracles, words we see in church today will add to the testimony of OFH for the community to see, like a beacon directing them to this field hospital where they can encounter the one true living God who can heal them. Part of the word that Katie had brought forward was essentially this, that people were going to be drawn here because they're waiting for what God is going to do here. They don't even know yet in their hearts that they're waiting for what he's going to do here, but that God is going to draw them as his Spirit unfolds healing in new and increasing ways. And they're going to come to this healing center out of our Father's house, and God is going to heal them. Now look around you. Who is going to be administrating that? It's you all. God is doing that here. He wants to increase what he's doing in healing here at our Father's house. Now that's part of the journey that we're on. Something that the Lord planted in Lanny's heart and has planted firmly in my heart too. And you hear it in the messages that I preach all the time, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life specifically. That he's created you and he's crafted you with a plan in mind, with intentionality. He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. You're not just some blob of flesh. You're not just some accident. God crafted you from before time began. He set the dates and the seasons that you were going to live in. He knew the day you're going to be born. He knows the day that you're going to die. And he knows the entire story in between. And throughout all of it, he's welcoming you and beckoning you into the journey that he has written for you in eternity. Your mission, should you choose to accept it. Right? So God is doing, he is so committed to imparting his Spirit to you to mature you, to grow you, so that you are a representation of him in the earth, a facet on this multifaceted gem that is God has your face on it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. These are things that are deeply seated in my heart. And so over the years, I've noodled with the Lord on different vision statements, and they all kind of felt very engineer-y to me. It's probably because I'm an engineer. But it was an important exercise for me in looking at the language that the Lord is using. And I believe in the season that we're walking into, we can't bring Christianese into that season for us in a vision statement. So we have to be careful with the words that we choose. Because there's words that we could use that just shut people down immediately. But there's other things that help us capture the, what is that all about? So, a few months ago, Katie and I were in our living room, and she said, "How's your vision statement coming along?" And I said, I'm really struggling with it. And I really feel like I should be further along with it than I am, and I'm not. And I said, kind of sarcastically, "It's not like I could just sit down here and like 10 minutes from now have a vision statement." So 10 minutes later when I finished writing it, it's like, okay, Lord. Now, obviously, he'd been working on me for years on this thing, but it was in that moment he started putting those words together, and very few things have changed since that time. This is months ago. You want to know? Can we put the vision statement up, please? Our vision is to see a hurting world, to see people launched into their destiny. Thank you, Lord. And that comes from the perspective of what we just talked about. As representatives of our Heavenly Father, our vision is to see a hurting world healed. It's to see people launched into their destiny. It's not just a hurting world healed so that. It's to see a hurting world healed. It's to see people launched into their destiny. This is a coupled vision statement. Don't do one without the other. You can have a hurting world healed that still doesn't have purpose. You can have people that are launched into their destiny that have a whole lot of healing that they should have done a while back, and they're not prepared for the future that God has for them. Not all of us will go through that process the same way, but it's process. It's process. For me personally, this statement represents so much of what I have already experienced here at our Father's house in my 15 years. It is the essence of what God is doing here in us. And there's going to be other things that come along the way that compete with this vision that we're now going to be able to say, Heisman Trophy, thank you. But that's not for us. God's called us to see a hurting world healed. He's called us to see people launched into their destiny. I'm going to take the remainder of today to speak about seeing a hurting world healed. Next week, I'm going to talk about what the language of to see people launch into their destiny means to me, what I'm carrying. And then the third Sunday, we're going to talk about some of the practical aspects of that and also what this next year is going to be looking like for us from a timeline with Lanny and I. So, that's the context that we're going to be speaking into. These statements together to me represent wholeness. Wholeness. Like I've said, God has an identity for us. You are sons and daughters of God. If you don't yet know your Heavenly Father, you have an identity that you've not stepped into yet. You're walking around in a fake identity, essentially. Someone has stolen your identity, and you need to go and get it back. And the way you do that is you go to Jesus and say, "May I have my identity, please? Because I know it's in you." We're found in Him. Our truest identity is found in Him. But wholeness means that we've moved beyond hurt, or we're dealing with that hurt. We're growing, we're being healed. But we're also stepping forward into our identity, into our destiny. And we said, essentially, I am a whole person in Jesus. He's already brought healing for me. I have access to that. I have access to restoration. I have access to reconciliation. And not only that, but He has a purpose for me to carry that into the world. And I get to fully inhabit that identity. I had to put this picture in the background because the first time I saw this thing, I went, man, there is something about that. And as I've spent time with the Lord in front of that picture, it just speaks to me about being the person who's willing to carry the flame in the midst of the wind and the waves and that which would extinguish that flame, to be that beacon for those that need to find a way home. I love that picture. There's harshness in that picture. If you're here sometime within the past year, and if you're one of our guys that's been in the alignment ministry, one of the words that the Lord had given us is, you're not stuck between a rock and a hard place. He's called us to be a rock in a hard place. He's called us to be refuge in the storm. This speaks refuge to me in the storm, being willing to weather things for others so that they can find a way home. That's Christ. He climbed on a cross for us. He became a curse for us so that we would have access to our Father. So healing. Healing. See a hurting world healed. Wherever there is chaos and darkness, there is hurt and pain. Wherever there's disorder, there's pain. There's opportunity for healing to take place. And the world that we live in has chaos, darkness, and disorder in it in so many ways. But God raises up His people to shine light into the darkness. That's what Christ is. He's a light in the darkness. Christ in you, the hope of glory, you are a light in the darkness. And God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. When I see the word healed there, I'm not just talking about bringing healing, physical healing to places. We will see that happen, and we should see an increase in that because God has laid seeds in the ground for us with that. But He's calling us to more. He wants to bring reconciliation. He wants to bring restoration. When Jesus comes to the disciples after He's been resurrected, He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." We find in 2 Corinthians, it says that all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors. We carry reconciliation with us. In Colossians, we find Him saying this. This is Paul about Christ. "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him." This is Colossians chapter 1. starting in verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. God is reconciling all things to himself. All things. The whole earth. God's dream is to see a hurting world healed. That's the mission that he's on. He sent Christ into the world to bring redemption, to redeem us, to give us a way back to our Father, but also to begin reconciling what had happened in decay in the earth. God's all about relationships. He's really not about religion. He's about relationships. We got the law because they didn't want to have a relationship with him. He said, I want you all to be kings and priests. I want you all to do this. And they said, Moses, go get the rule book for us, please, because we don't want to do that. So we got the law, but God always wanted relationship. When he started in the garden with Adam and Eve, he walked with them. He taught them how to rule. Adam's called his son. That's relationship. He's not just the first man that was sent on deployment someplace, you know, by himself to figure it all out. He was walking with his Father, God. God's always about relationship. He always wants to restore us to relationship. So in the statement, who's the world? What does that mean? What is the world? Who is the world? Jesus kind of posed it this way. Who is this man's neighbor? It's everyone that is around us. The world walks through our doors here into our Father's house. The world walks into your door in your home. You see the world when you walk out anywhere around here, when you walk around in your neighborhood, when you sit down next to your cube mate. You're with the world. The world are all of those that are around us. God wants to bring healing to that. When we say world, are we talking about the planet? Like the actual ground that we're on? Actually, yeah. We are talking about that. I just made somebody go, what? God wants to bring healing, restoration, reconciliation. The greatest healing that any of us can experience is a healing in our restoration, in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We call that colloquially salvation. It's the first and greatest healing. Without that, none of the rest of this matters. It's all surface. But being restored to our Father is a great healing. We also see physical healing taking place. We've seen God do some great things, some amazing things. I'm not satisfied with what he's done here. And that's not to be ungrateful. I just want more. I want him to show us more. I want him to do more. There's so much more hurt and healing that's in our physical bodies that we need to see restored. We still get cancer coming around here. We still see all sorts of stuff that just brings terrible, restricting ailments to people. God wants to set those things off of us. We as a people get to go and contend for those things. He's calling us. He's saying, come on, folks. Come on, because I got more. I got more for you to tap into. I can do all of this. Keep coming. Emotional, inner healing. We see that taking place already, but there's more that God wants to put on deposit in us. When Sam Solon was here with us a couple months ago, there was things that he was depositing in us on that level that some of us don't know about, but we've already been moving in this vein, but it's like he's pouring more grace into that for us. God's continuing to equip us as a people in that way. But God wants to heal breaches between people. Brandon was talking about it today. Between ethnic groups, between cultural groups, between races, in families. There's fissures that have been happening across our country in so many ways, political fissures. I see you as a Republican or a Democrat or conservative or a liberal, but you're still a child of God. Are we honoring that in one another? God wants to do a work in the world, and it is His Spirit through His people that's going to bring about healing in that. The enemy seeks to divide us. God seeks to unify us in oneness of spirit. I don't have to agree with you intellectually. I don't even have to agree with you philosophically. But if you're my brother or my sister, I got to love you. I got to love you. And I need to approach you in humility. God wants to do a work in that. There are cracks and fissures and breaches in the body of Christ all over the place. Was that God's plan? No. You think He wants to heal that? Absolutely. Something that broke my heart over this last week, and it probably broke several of yours as well, is hearing about what's going to happen in the schism in the Methodist Church. What a heartbreak that's going on there. And of course the enemy would want to attack that. Of course he would want to attack that denomination. When those brothers pressed into God and sought His presence, and so many people came to know the Lord, and there was healings that were taking place, there was prophecy that was coming out, the presence of God was in that movement, and now we see a schism coming to split it right down the middle. The enemy does that. But God's going to restore those things. He is going to reconcile all things, and He's calling us into that mission with Him. There's broken systems in our society. And they're going to keep continuing on that path of entropy. I'm talking to the engineers in here. Entropy happens. Increased chaos until God begins to roll things backwards the other way. By His Spirit, by His people, by His sons, His daughters that He sends into those places to change it. Darkness stays dark unless light shows up. God wants to shine light into the darkness. I spoke earlier about the planet, and I know some people cringed, but I don't care. God cares about our environment. He cares about the health of this planet because He cares about you. He made an environment for you to thrive in. It's part of His creation, and He called us to steward that thing. He called us to steward that thing. I'm going to read to you out of Romans chapter 8. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Why? For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Do you think that God doesn't have a purpose for us in the environment and taking care of His planet that He created for us as a home? He absolutely does. Do you think that we as Christians don't actually have influence over the way that things happen in the weather systems, in the patterns of our earth, and how things grow in the seasons? Jesus commanded the storm, and it responded to Him because it recognized His voice. His voice is the one that spoke it all into being, and that Spirit is alive in you. There are natural disasters that take place and happen, but I know that God stays those things because His people rise up and say, no, that's not going to happen here. This might sound far-fetched to you, but signs and wonders are real because they point back to the One who created all things, who is all-powerful, who holds all of it in His hands, and He's welcoming His children into His mission to reconcile and redeem and heal His creation. We get to be part of that. To quote Mike Wagner, who used to preach here, you got stinking thinking, get it cleared out. God wants to change our perspective. We have opportunities in our journey with the Lord to repent. which means we're going to change from moving one direction to moving another direction. We're going to stop doing the one thing so that we can move the other way. If he has to change how you think and how your brain is configured on things, let him do it. Let him give you a bigger perspective than what you've been walking around with your whole life. We get to have transformation by the renewing of our mind. The words here are intended to have an expansive perspective. We shouldn't be limited by what we know. And we should grow in our experience with what these words mean. We should find healing for ourselves. We should find healing for those that God sends to us. And we should find healing for those he sends us to. There's a pattern in this language here that happens both on the corporate and the individual level. It's ourselves, who he sends to us, and who he sends us to. God is speaking about wholeness in this, but he's speaking about an advancing wholeness. It's not a static thing. This is a dynamically advancing thing. God is pressing out. He wants to ignite the fire here. He wants to grow that flame. He wants the brightness to shine, and he wants us to carry that with us as we go. Corporately, we should see healing happening here inside our Father's house, and we already do. That is part of the mark that he has here. We do that well. We also see things happening internationally. We've got a great footprint here inside this house. We've also got a great footprint internationally. Many of you have been giving and praying and just pouring your heart into what God has been doing through us relationally in the earth. But what about out here? What about our community? What about those we see every day? Many of us have been growing in our affection for this place. This place. The community here in Southern Maryland. This region. There's a corporate aspect to that, but there's also an individual aspect. I need healing in my journey with the Lord. You need healing in your journey with the Lord. On whatever level it is, see, when you're healed by the Lord, then you bring that testimony with you wherever you go. You know he does that. You've seen him do it. You can carry that with you. You can impart that to the places you go. He's going to bring people to you, and he's going to send you to people. I'm sent into a workplace right now, and I carry his light with me wherever I go. I have a job to do, but I have a job to do. You understand? All of you are like that. Don't separate sacred and secular. It's all sacred because God is in you and you carry him with you. And see your work, see your day as your mission field. It is no mistake that somebody came to you with a major problem. Thank the Lord for the problem because he's the answer. And he's going to be the answer through you. We've had some incredible ministries here at our Father's house that are already administering healing. We've seen physical healings taking place lots of times here at the altar, in one another's homes. God does that. We've seen that happening. But we also have Transformation Prayer Ministry, TPM. Who's ever been involved in that in one way or another? God frees us through that. That's healing that's taking place in that ministry. Healing hearts. Man, the ladies that have dove into healing hearts over the past several years, thank you for your commitment to that. Thank you. Because it has brought healing on so many deep, hard levels in people's lives. If you need healing emotionally, we have resources for that here because God has invested that in here. Divorce care, that's been going on for a long time. That's a healing ministry. Divorce is the hurt that keeps on hurting. But God allows restoration. He brings reconciliation in that. And the people that are involved in that ministry care and help nurture and steward our hearts through those very challenging times. Celebrate recovery. Praise God for Celebrate Recovery. So many of us here in this body have experienced so much growth and healing in that. But not just here in this body. Our community comes in for that. God's reaching so many people through that ministry on Friday nights. If you're involved in that and you've been pouring your life through that, thank you so much, because God is doing a great work in that. Financial Peace University. FPU. We had healing in our finances. I don't know about you. But God cares about that. Because when we have healing in our finances, there's so much peace that's brought to us, not worrying about those things, knowing that the Lord has blessed us in that way and that he's given us the mechanisms to take those things forward. These are just a few of the ministries that the Lord has been working on to bring healing about here in our Father's house. But he's not done with that, folks. He's not done. He's put in our hearts to see healing and reconciliation between racial groups, between ethnic groups, between cultures, between generations. Healings in the fractures in the churches here in Southern Maryland. Taking up the cause of the underprivileged and the oppressed, many of us have been just praying to the Lord for wisdom, for insight, pouring into the ministries that do exist there. We say seeing a hurting world healed, we can't do all that ourselves. We're probably not even going to see that happen in large scale in our lifetime, but that's what we are moving towards, because that's what God is calling us to do. And we get to help move that guide on forward. God's going to bring healing to people groups. I don't know how he's going to do that yet, but he's been putting a burning in several of our hearts to see that happen. I can't wait to see what he teaches us in that. Is that going to be painful? Yeah, it's going to be painful. But the fruit of that labor is going to be glorious. It is going to be glorious, and I'm committed to that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This statement governs our language and our actions. If we're going to see a hurting world healed, we can't bring hurt into that world. Our mouths are given the ability to bless and to curse. We can speak life or death with the exact same organ. And we are admonished that we should be speaking blessings and not curses. We get to speak words that release an atmosphere, that call on grace, that release blessings around us, with one another, with ourselves. Don't speak curses over you. Oh, I'm so stupid. Cut that out. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're going to show me what I need to know here. Thank you that you bless me, Lord. Thank you that you're going to give me your mind. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to give me wisdom. Thank you that you love me. Even when I fail, you love me. You're so good to me, Lord. Lord, bless me. Bless my children. Bless my job. Bless my household. Bless my neighborhood. Bless my church. Bless my friends. Bless my family. Bless all that I see today. Lord, the work of my hands, I thank you that you're blessing it. You release grace when you do things like that, folks, because Christ is in you. He is the Word. He is the living Word. And Word has power. We are a church that is going to continue to bless one another and bless everyone who comes through that door. So that it would be, you will be blessed as you come in and you will be blessed as you go out. And we're going to be a blessing to this community. We already are. But we're going to be intentional about being a blessing to this community. How many of us are transplants? Come on. Raise your hands. God bless this land that we're living in. I had some stinking thinking several years ago about this place because of how my experiences had been coming in here, and the Lord called me up on it. And he said, no, I bless this place. Don't you take for granted what I've done here. And he opened up to me understanding of what he did when he created the Maryland colony here. God was at work and had a dream for this place that was huge when he started it. And it's not dead. It's in the ground. Did you know that the Catholics who started this colony did it for the purposes of religious tolerance? You've probably seen the signs, right? Birthplace of religious freedom. That's a real thing. Those same colonists, when they couldn't settle in the first colony that they had, went to Jamestown for refuge. And being Catholic and found out, were diswelcomed from being in Jamestown and sent back to England. But those same people said, we're going to found a colony that it doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or not. We're going to welcome you there. We're not going to persecute you because you believe differently than us. The word religious tolerance, that term there, religious tolerance, means something different today than it did back then. So we need to understand the context of the time. That wasn't speaking about Buddhism. That wasn't speaking about Islam. That wasn't speaking about New Age. It wasn't speaking about any of those other things. It wasn't speaking about paganism and all that stuff. It was speaking about Christianity. That term religious at that time meant Christianity. We should translate that today to denominational tolerance. They, in enacting the act here almost 400 years ago, they basically said this: if you name the name of Jesus, we will not persecute you. We will live together in harmony. We will do business together. And we can worship separately, but we're worshiping the same God. And they actually upheld that law, which means when they found people doing otherwise, they actually prosecuted them. That was upheld for 50 years. And when the enemy finally overthrew that, the seat of power for Maryland moved to Annapolis very quickly. And what had started here diminished. Now God has placed that here in the ground. He's placed that here in this land. And we sit right below the seat of power for this nation and the free world. Do you not think that God has a plan for this place? This is a hidden gem. And God has already started to draw the hearts of the pastors and churches here in Southern Maryland together, that we would see ourselves as the church in Southern Maryland. Not just our Father's house, not just the other churches, but we are the church. We are the body of Christ here in Southern Maryland. God has set us up here for a purpose. We here are going to recognize that. You can't be a blessing in the community if you are not blessing the community. We get to speak blessing over this land. We get to speak blessing over the people that are here, over the businesses that are here. We get to bless the other churches that are here. We get to thank the Lord for what He has called forth into the earth, and we get to wait with expectancy to see what He's going to unveil. I can't wait to see what He's going to do in our lifetime, folks. 14 years from now is the 400-year anniversary of religious tolerance here. And when it happened, it was the first time that had ever happened anywhere in the earth. It has been identified by historians as being the we here in this location was the freest place to worship God on the planet. Here in Southern Maryland. Change your perspective. Recognize what we're stewarding in this time. Own that. Own it. Because it's part of who we are. God wants to heal a hurting world. And He wants to do that by His Spirit. I'm getting excited. There are many ways that we can invest ourselves in this statement here. The way we find what the Lord is going to do is He's going to bring it to us through relationship. Because God cares about relationships. We get spammed with things to give to. Right? All of us do, but we as a church get spammed with things to give to. But God initiates the strongest things for us through the relationships that He brings to us, for those that He lights for us. Because relationships are the roads, that the bridges that He builds to convey His grace across. The relational connections that you have with people are how God conveys His grace through you to those that are around you. God's given us inroads to other countries. We have no business being there other than the fact that the Lord has, He has made ways for us to do that. And He has poured out great blessings through us to others. And likewise, back to us through them. God is doing incredible things that way. So when we build, we see new ministries forming, they're going to start relationally. We're going to try some things out. Some things aren't going to work. I'm okay with that because I want to see what is going to work. We're going to scatter a lot of seed, and some of it's going to come up. Some of it's going to mature. Some of it's going to grow. Some of these things are going to be things that are planted in your hearts. They're going to be planted in your hearts, but because you're part of this body, God's going to grow those things. Many of the ministries that I mentioned before started in the hearts of our people here. It's not me as a pastor saying, it's going to do this and it's going to look exactly like this. God has worked it into us. Our Father's house is a bridge. It's a bridge between heaven and earth. God releases His glory here in the earth through us. Are we the only bridge in the? No. But we are a bridge. We need to see ourselves that way. Heaven comes to earth here. We can draw heaven down here because that's what God has called us to do. We can draw healing here because that's what He has identified us as. We get to align ourselves with that. We're a bridge between brokenness and wholeness. We're a bridge between hurt and healing. We're a bridge between orphanhood and sonship. We're a bridge between purposeless wandering and purposeful destiny. Wholeness is found in relationship with our Father when we experientially learn our identity as His children. He has called us to that. He has called us to bring healing into this world. He has called us to partner with others that are on that same mission. He's called us to join efforts, to multiply, to increase, to exponentialize what He's doing. We don't need to be in competition with other churches for different ministries here, folks. We get to join them. They get to join with us. Because it's His church in this region, things that He is doing here. We get to join with things that are happening internationally because that's what He's doing and He calls us into that. We get to have an apostolic perspective on what God is doing in the church. We get to become a resource for others that are here in our community that's saying, we don't quite have what you have, but we'd like to learn more. Well, then come on in and let us impart to us. You don't have to become part of this church to be blessed by it. You don't have to become part of this church to be able to carry the same seed into our community. Time for competition's done. We're not doing that. But those who've been broken, abused, and abandoned here will become restored, reconciled, and redeemed. Next week, we're going to talk about the second part of this statement. I can't wait to talk about this. I can't wait to talk about this. Because we're not just called to be healed. We are destined to go. We are destined to be launched. We are destined for purpose in our Father. Oh, man. So what are we having? Baby dedications. We're going to do them differently this year. We're going to be prophesying over these children. Okay? Prophetic team, we're going to be prophesying publicly for these children because it is part of our role as the body of Christ to declare destiny over people. If Jesus was known in the womb who He was, don't you think God knows who these kids are? Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I called you to be this. That wasn't just for those people. That is the pattern that God has. And the benefit they have, the privilege they have of being in this house, is that we actually believe and know that God's going to give us wisdom and insight into their lives, how he has shaped them, how he has destined them, so that we can partner with what God has planned before time to bring them into maturity in that. What a great thing for them. What a great thing. What a powerful thing to offer the parents here at our church to be able to say, we heard also what God said about your little one. We know what he's saying there. They're little now, but someday they're going to carry the full weight of that thing. And we get to partner with you in bringing that forward. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing here in our Father's house. We thank you that you have chosen us as a people, Lord, to see a hurting world healed, to see people launched into their destiny. Lord, we don't know all that you have equipped us with yet and all that you will yet equip us with, but Father, we thank you for it already. We thank you for the journey. We thank you for all that you have done up to this point and where you're moving us into the future. We thank you for a change in season, Lord. We thank you for a change in our expectancy. We thank you for a change in the release of your grace here for us, Lord. Father, I ask that you would light the fires in the hearts of our people, Lord, to really capture not only what you're doing through us corporately, but what you're doing through them individually, Lord. I thank you, Father. Lord, let they would burn for you. They would burn for what you're doing, Lord. That our eyes would be lifted, Lord, to continue in the journey that you have us in, Lord, but to run the race with you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Father, I just release your grace and your peace. And Holy Spirit, I just welcome you to visit with us during our days, during our quiet times, and even in the night season, Lord, when we're dreaming, that you would bring things forward to us. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for us prophetically, Lord, what you're releasing in the earth. You're so good. Lord, I thank you for this land that you have given to us, Lord Jesus. Lord, give us vision for what you want to do here. Give us understanding, Lord, for where there is hurt that needs healing that you have given us grace for, Lord. And not, let us not be afraid to walk there, Lord. Let us not be afraid to go there and carry your presence there, Lord. Lord Jesus, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence here. We know that without you, none of this happens. But we know with you, the transforming power of God is here to be put on display to redeem all, to restore all things, to reconcile all things to you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We want to be with you, Lord, as you move here in Southern Maryland, as you move here in our Father's house, as you move here in our families, Lord, as you move in our friendships, Lord. We just thank you. I bless your people today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite our prophetic team to come up here to my left, your right, up here. If you need to do some business with the Lord, we'll have prophetic ministers over here to my left. We also have an open altar here to my right. Sometimes we need to be with others. Sometimes we need to be alone before the Lord. And I would welcome you and invite you to come forward for prayer. If you need healing for anything, we'd love to pray for you, okay? I just thank the Lord for what he's doing here. Lord, we just release your spirit for healing in this house right now. Lord, I thank you for those that have come in here today, Lord, needing a touch from you. We just release your grace for them right now, Father. Lord, I pray for feet. I pray for knees that are in pain right now. I rebuke arthritis right now in the name of Jesus. Any dislocation of ligaments right now, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Lord, we just welcome your healing into it. I thank you, Father, for your healing balm. Lord, for those that are brokenhearted today, I welcome your Holy Spirit. I welcome your comfort for them right now, Lord. Lord, that you would be with them in the midst of that, and you would bring restoration to them right now, Lord. I just speak peace into that chaos right now, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your touch. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to do business with the Lord, please come forward. Otherwise, I would welcome you to just come to our lobby and fellowship with one another. Come next week for part two. Lord bless you. Amen.